Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you don't know yet, I enjoy meeting people. I like people. And dare I say, I love people. I love engaging with people. And I love to ask their names because there's no sweeter sound in the world than the sound of your own name. So I make an effort to remember names. And to me, it's the most pleasing sound when you hear your own name. I really make an effort. And I used to work in an airport amongst like hundreds of people, and I knew probably 80, 85, maybe 90% of their names. And it would shock people, but it's important. It's important to know names because it also helps in building relationships. Now, Sean talked this morning about connecting over a meal. I got to tell you right now, one of my favorite things to do, connect over a meal. I love food. And you know, I believe it's scriptural and biblical to break bread together. No better way to form a relationship than to do that. And one of my other loves, and we've got a couple of bikers in the room today. We've got Wally and Lois sitting at the back there. So welcome, Wally and Lois, is to ride motorcycles. I love riding motorcycles. I know Arjo likes it, Steve-O likes it, PB likes it. You know, we got a few motorcycle riders. Dwayne Johnson, I don't know if he's here today, but he likes riding motorcycles.
Chris.
Who?
Chris.
Chris is here. Where is he? He's in the washroom. Okay. Chris loves riding motorcycles, but he's got a broken hand right now. But that's a great way to connect as well and to build relationships. And it's genuine, sincere relationships when you connect like that. You become friends. And you just begin to create a relationship. Organically, it grows. Now, as much as I love people, I can tell you this. God loves people much more than I do. And I'm going to share scripture with you today. I've got quite a few some scriptures that I'm going to share with you. And I hope you just open up your heart to receive what God is saying to you today. Ask him, what are you saying to me, God? Because I'm telling you, God wants to have relationship with you. And you'll see it throughout the Bible. Right in the very first chapter of the Bible, and I think it's up there behind me, Genesis 1, verse 27. This is in the very first chapter of the Bible. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man, and please hear this, in his own image. In his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Right away, he created us in his image. He didn't create the animals in his image. He didn't create the fish. He didn't create the birds. He created us in his image. Why do you think he did that? He created us in his image to have relationship with us. That's why he created us in his image. He can have relationship with us. Each one of us individually, God wants to have a relationship with us. And when you read his word, you see that time and time again that God says to you, "I choose you. I'm waiting for you to choose me. I want to have relationship with you." Then we go to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. And Revelation 3:20 says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Here we go, food. It's a connector. God is willing to come in to have supper with you. And when you have supper with someone, you usually have a relationship with them. And that's what he's saying. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to break bread with you. I want to be with you. He's encouraging us. I will come in. I will knock. The creator of the universe is saying, "I will knock. Please let me in." That's how much he cares for us. That's how much he wants to have a relationship with us. And I think everyone will recognize this next verse. And I'm going to actually ask you to read this along with me on the count of three. I learned this one from Carol. She always says to the guys in the prison and in the mustard seed, on the count of three, let's all read together. So on the count of three, let's please all read together. Ready? One, two, three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You're going to see this word love today quite a bit. When you read the word of God, you'll see that he uses the word love so often. For he so loved the world. God sacrificed his Son to have relationship with us. That's how much he loves us. That is the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrificing your child to adopt us as his children. What an incredible sacrifice. And he did it so willingly. And Jesus went to the cross so willingly. That to me is just, it's unbelievable. But he loves us that much. He wants to have a relationship that badly with you that he sacrificed the Son. And not to condemn you, but rather that you would be saved through his Son. That to me just is, it shows the love that God has for each one of us. And then we have Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the, and there's that word, love, of the great love with which, again, he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses or sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Saved for what? Saved to have an eternal relationship with God. He demonstrated his love for us that even while we were sinners. You know, I got a secret for you. This church is filled with sinners. Filled with sinners. You're looking at the sinner right here. But you know, that's why God sent his Son, is to save us. He didn't send his Son to save the righteous. He sent his Son to save us. I'm a sinner. And I thank God for how he's working in my life. I've got a long way to go. But I'm willing for him to work in my life. You know, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a minister, I'm not a preacher. What I am is someone who is willing to be led by God. If he asks me to share a message, I want to be ready to share a message. If he asks me to vacuum this hole, I'm going to be ready to do it. If he asks me to pick someone up to bring them to church, I want to be willing to do that. I'm a very ordinary person. I'm a very ordinary person, but with an extraordinary willingness to let God lead my life. Because I know when I was living my life according to the way I wanted to, I lived a very immoral life. On paper, I did not look very good, but my God gave me a wonderful, beautiful, godly wife. She looked at me through God's eyes. She told me that because I certainly wasn't deserving of having such a great wife. But I am so thankful. 1 John 3, verse 1. Thank you, Big Bear. 1 John 3, verse 1 says this. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Can you think of anything stronger than a parent and child relationship? It's very hard to think of anything stronger than that. And regardless of what type of parent or father or mother you had, your heavenly Father will never disappoint. He is always going to be there for you. God desires that close relationship with us, like a father and child. What a beautiful relationship that is. And you know, this God does not want a lukewarm, and Revelation tells us this, God doesn't want a lukewarm relationship with you. He'd rather you be cold or hot, preferably hot, but he doesn't want lukewarm. He doesn't want you wavering in that. I'd rather you not know me or know me completely. He doesn't want lukewarm. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a scripture that I really like this scripture as well.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God is telling us that when we have a relationship with him, he's got a good plan for us. He's not going to force that plan on you. But if you want to be in relationship with him, he's got a good plan for us. And he'll reveal that to you. All you have to do is ask God, what is my plan for my life, Lord? And just be still and wait for him to respond to you. And he will give you the best plan that you ever had. But there's many who will reject this plan. And I really feel for those people. And that's why it's so important for me to engage and have relationship. Because some people won't ever hear the gospel unless we have that relationship and share the love of God with them. So it's important that we do that. And here, as my wife said earlier, Psalm 23. And Pastor Barry knows this quite well, as does Carol. I love Psalm 23. And my grandmother used to speak this over me as a child, and I never paid any attention. I mean, I was 8, 7, 6 years old, but my grandmother would quote scripture all the time. And I realized one day that this is one that just stuck with me. And when I read through it, I see so much more in this now. And I'm going to read through this. It says, and I also add some commentary. It says, the Lord is my shepherd through a personal relationship. He's my shepherd. He guides me. I shall not want. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. A God relationship brings peace. It brings comfort. It brings love. It brings all of these things. And you know, it even brings financial help as well. But it brings all those other things that are just so, so wonderful.
It leads me the path of righteousness. Oh, sorry, I'm jumping ahead here. And then it says, verse 3, he restores my soul. So when you face challenges, he gives you strength and the ability to face those challenges. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say we won't have challenges. We will have challenges. And I know many people are facing challenges these days. We pray for you, and we thank God that he is there alongside us. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is always walking with us. Even when we can't see him or feel him, I tell you this, he is with us. He is beside us. He is guiding us. He is always with us. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I got to tell you, I've been through some challenges, and I'm so thankful that God has been, as many of you, I'm so thankful God has been there to comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Fear not, he is with you. And you know, I always remember this scripture as well. If God is for you, who can be against you? There's no need to fear. God is with us. Not saying it's going to be easy, but God is with us. As Barry said about grief sharing, it doesn't guarantee that your grief will be gone at the end of it, but we know that we've had the opportunity to share, and God is with us during those times. You anoint my head with oil. He blesses you. When you're in a relationship with God, he blesses you. You just have to be able to see the blessings that he's bestowing upon you. Family, children, friends, church family. There's so many blessings that I can think of in my life. Then my cup runs over with his love, blessing, comfort, peace, grace, wisdom, discernment, family, all come along with that. That's how my cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And then guess what? Eternally. Your riches are stored in heaven. What happens here on earth is temporary. I like to say, and Carol has heard this 1,000 times, and I apologize, Carol, but I like to say, some people say that we are human beings having a spiritual experience, but maybe we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Because our life is this much compared to what we will live in eternity. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I know I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I certainly want all of you to dwell in the house of the Lord as well. I want you all to be there. Now, this is the other thing, and I talked briefly about this. God desires us to have relationship with others. And I'm going to read some scripture, and you're going to see a couple of words again that you will recognize. John 15:12 says this. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. And then Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love, again, that word love, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then Colossians 3, verse 13 and 14. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. I got to thank my wife for making allowances for my faults. Thank you, babe. And remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, the Bible also tells us that if you've been forgiven much, you're called to love much. And then verse 14, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds, and that word binds is very important, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Binds means unity. So if you read it this way, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which brings unity to all of us together in perfect harmony. Now, why relationship with others? It's important that we reflect God, that we show His love, that we don't judge, but are ready to share the word of God, the gospel, so that people have an opportunity to hear how much God loves us and how much sacrifice He gave for us to be in relationship with us. So when we have genuine, sincere relationships, we can share God's love. And we share the gospel with love, not harshly, not condemning, but sharing the good news of the gospel with people who have never heard it before. I'm so thankful, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There was a time that I was, oh, it's going to be hard. You know, sharing the gospel can be just being kind, being generous, being loving, being caring. And eventually someone said, why are you like that? And that's your opportunity. You just get to share in love. But just reflect, you are the Bible that people might read. If you just reflect the love of God in everything you do. And also, you know, I talked briefly about unity. You know, the Bible tells us that unity commands a blessing. It's in the Bible. Unity commands a blessing. And that's how important relationships are, that it commands a blessing when you're in a relationship and in unity. That's a blessing. And, you know, I heard this recently, and I truly believe this. I believe we are better together. I believe we are better together. We can't do things alone. I can't do anything in my own power. I love the fact that our church is joined, and I truly believe that we are better together. Oh, I see Chabot back there. Hi, Chabot. Oh. Now, throughout the Bible, God tells you he wants you to be his people. You don't have to work for his affection. You don't have to work for his love. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You know, God accepts us exactly as we are, and then he works in us. He just looks for your willing heart to be in relationship with him, to welcome Jesus into your heart and to start that relationship, and he will work in you. You don't have to set yourself straight. You don't have to clean yourself up. He accepts us exactly as we are, and he will transform you. I won't transform you. I won't be able to do that, but God certainly can, and his word will do that for you. Now, let me find this scripture. Genesis 17:7. I'm going to read these next few verses off sort of in rapid fire. And it says this in Genesis 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, and you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. To be God to you and to your offspring after you. And then Exodus 6:7. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He brings us out of our burdens. Ezekiel 36:28. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 7:23, but this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. And then finally, Jeremiah 30, verse 22, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. God wants you to be his people through relationship. Through Jesus Christ, you have a direct relationship with God. And that's why I wanted to share this message today, is to encourage you. God is calling you to relationship. My hope is that you hear that. God is calling you to relationship. I've got just a few more scripture, and then I'll be closing. So I want to share with you how intimately God knows you. The creator of the universe knows you better than you know yourself. And this is a scripture that Carol shared one day, and I just have never forgotten how much God wants to have a relationship with us and how much he wants to just be there with you. And I'm going to ask, is it up there, Psalm 139? Nate, can you put up the beginning of Psalm 139? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace the word you with the word God whenever I see that word. And I want you to read it this way. God made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank God for making me so wonderfully complex. God's workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. God watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Hi, Noah. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. God saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in God's book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are God's thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be outnumbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, God, you are still with me. That's how intimately God knows Lance, Tara, Wally, Chris, Claudia, Roland, Jericho. He knows us all intimately. It's an intimacy that just screams relationship. And that's why I want you to know how much God wants to have that relationship with you. And you know, when you have a relationship, this is not in any of the scripture, but Psalm 144:15 says, joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. You find joy in your life when you have the Lord in your life. That's what he does.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.